the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
So I think I can talk about this on the podcast, I'm pretty sure. We talked about it at our little church community group yesterday, and that is, back in the day when I was working at a particular radio network, the boss had a temper, and I was sitting at a conference table, and I can't remember what I said, and I intimated that he didn't like something I was doing, and he jumped in and yelled at me.
Was I there?
I don't think you were there for that one. I think you were the other ones where you yelled at me. But, and I never see it coming. So I don't realize I flipped that switch. But what he yelled was, "Look, when I've got a problem with you, you'll know it."
Well, I think I was there for that.
For that one? Okay. Yeah. And you know what? That was kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, has got their stuff where they say dumb things. We all do that. Mm-hmm. And then other things like that. I'm like, that was strangely comforting.
Mm.
Like, if I've got a problem with you, you'll know it. I will tell you. And there's a lot of clarity there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you practice that, I think if you practice that in friendship and in marriage, where you say, look, you don't need to be nervous. You don't need to be insecure. You don't need, because there's something very secure. Like, if I do have a problem, I will say it. And if I don't, I just need to shut up and not act it out.
Yeah.
Subtly hope you read my mind. Subtly hope that you finally, and that can happen in marriage in particular, because you're just so close for so long that you get into this game of, I want to do this thing and hope you notice that I had to do that twice and you haven't done it yet at all.
Mm.
Like, well, I'm not going to worry about that. Like, is this person mad at me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my wife shouldn't have to worry about, is my husband mad at me if I don't say it?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not big enough for me to say, then I just have to eat it. Like, big deal.
Yeah.
Let it go. And I think it's incredibly freeing. And I think it breaks a lot of tension in relationships and homes, because you don't have to wonder where you stand if you've all adopted that policy and signed off on it. I think that's doable.
It is. I think that that was one of my goals in 2019, is not to hold myself responsible for unspoken words.
Yeah.
So if you haven't told me there's a problem, there is no problem.
I like making it overt too, because then if somebody's aggravated about something, if, let's say I am aggravated, but I don't have the guts to bring it up, I need to just shut up and get over my problem.
Yes.
It's not fair.
No.
It's not fair to expect other people to read your mind or just pick up on your subtle, you know, coldness. The other thing is, you might be upset at something else, some other situation, and accidentally come across, because you're preoccupied, as being rude to the person, but the person can know now. He doesn't have a problem with me because he hasn't told me.
That's, I appreciate that about our working relationship.
I do too.
I really assume if there is an issue, he will say it to me. And I think I told you in the beginning of our relationship working, I said, I'm at least old enough now to know that 97% of problems are Sherry problems. If there is a 3% where this is something that you and I are going to have to work out, I can't do this on my own, I'll say that. If not, then that's my issue, and I've just, I got to eat it. Yeah. I got to work through that.
Or it really does invalidate your complaint.
Yes.
If you realize, I'm not going to give voice to this, okay, then I better just knock it off.
And then work through it, and that's hard for a lot of people. I know it's hard for me. I hope I'm getting better at it. But what you can't let happen is let that issue start oozing over into the other person, because that's not fair. If I have decided this is a Sherry problem, doggone it, Sherry, get it together. That's not fair for Brandt or my mom or whoever's in close proximity to have to deal with my microaggressions, is what I call them.
Well,
so
it's everybody operates this way, though. Yeah. I think for me, I think there are people who can be passive aggressive and people who can be, and this is a fighting word, but like to be martyrs and hope you notice. And this is very common.
Yeah.
There's people like me, I actually just want peace. So it's not passive aggressive so much as just, maybe it's passive aggressive. I want peace, but I'm not doing the work. I just want you to stop it without me telling you to stop it.
Yeah.
well, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different ways we can come at this. It's just so freeing for everybody involved. If that's the overt understanding, I think, of a workplace or a home, and like here in our house, in our marriage or whatever, if I don't tell you, it's not okay for me to just give you the cold shoulder or do these subtle suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And men do it, women do it, everybody does it.
Yeah.
But we just have to say it or grow up. I think this works. So
no, I believe it works. It's maturing and it takes some time, but it does free relationships up.
I'm actually thankful for that, for getting called out in that conference room. If I got a problem with you, I'll tell you.
Like, I don't know how thankful I was for that. That was a traumatic
experience.
Nobody
likes getting yelled at, but I mean, it was like, oh, you know, the substance of what he's saying.
The substance of what he said is not bad.
Okay, that's good. All right. So this is something we can't get into on the air, so it's just a podcast thing, but thank you for listening. It's just my opinion. Sherry, you'll have her opinion on this too, I'm sure, but I wanted to talk about it days ago, but we've been remodeling our studio and stuff. It's so awesome. You guys got to see this.
It is.
It's going to be so neat. I'll put up pictures and stuff later. But I wanted to talk about this Gillette commercial because I'd heard about it over and over and seen tweets and seen posts about it before I'd actually seen it. And I kind of, in my mind, had an idea what it was going to be. And I was already like, oh, brother. And I watched it and I was kind of like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. It's a little weird to have products thinking, okay, here's a way for us to sell things is to tell people you need to live this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird. But I actually watched the thing and was like, yeah, all right. And what I did like about it is it wasn't just going off on men. I thought it just went off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
I did see it, yes.
Yeah, so far we're tracking together on this?
Yeah.
Hadn't talked about this ahead of time. I thought they were just going to go off, but they did show some examples of men doing men things, like breaking up a fight or like, hey, don't talk that way to that woman.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt about it. Is that what you thought?
That's what I thought. I thought, okay, the stereotypes they showed, I thought were fair. I didn't find them to be overly exaggerated. It made sense to me. And then they showed, it was a typical commercial. I wasn't ready to repost it and be like, my goodness, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
No.
I also wasn't like, I can't believe they would do this. You know,
we're
going to boycott everything. Like, I just, yes. So we had this same reaction. I didn't understand. I will say this. I didn't understand the criticism.
Well, I think I do.
Okay. Good.
And even though I don't agree with it specifically to this commercial, people aren't aware of this. And it can sound like being hyperbolic when you first talk about it, that there's a war against masculinity out there. Like, oh, come on. Oh, please. But there is.
Mm-hmm.
The American Psychological Association, this was in the summer, but it's just now getting talked about some more, issued a thing they've been working on for 12 years about masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the APA. So this is about mainstream as far as, it's not some wing group.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they're speaking for all of the psychiatric community.
Mm-hmm.
And their report on masculinity was that traditional masculinity is psychologically harmful. I'm quoting here. Talking about the tendency for men to be stoic, for men to be self-reliant, for men to be competitive. Also on their website, this is Stephanie Pappas, I'm just reading here. Traditional masculinity, quoting, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression is harmful. And there's no, it's like, I just disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who we are as men, and there are some evil men, and there are some good men. It's how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I've even said, and this sounds hyperbolic too, but I think it's true. I told Sherry this maybe a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Football is on the way out.
Okay.
Because think of what, and I said it's too masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, that's going to upset some people, but this is what the APA is saying. Aggressiveness,
mm-hmm.
competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a man who happens to think that traditional masculinity is a good thing, but it could be used for evil.
Right.
But I look at that. I'm not threatened by it. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a matter of showing people how to use it the correct way. So you need instruction. Like I just met a woman this morning who's an older lady. She's a doctor, mm-hmm. and she's a Jewish person, and both her parents were Holocaust survivors. And she does hospice care with old people, including a lot of veterans. Mm-hmm. But she said what she does when she finds out that they were in Europe in World War II, mm-hmm. is she makes sure, she says, I want to thank you because of your sacrifice. I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been if it weren't for soldiers like you. Mm-hmm. So she's cognizant of that. That was a furious effort. That took aggression. It took a lot of what we would call traditional masculinity to set people free. Mm-hmm. When it's in the service of the vulnerable. But see, what the APA does actually is they're looking at it, it's always bad.
Right.
Well, I disagree. And I think that's part of what it means to be masculine, is to say, let's take that competitive spirit and that self-reliance, mm-hmm. and let's use it to defend the vulnerable. We've seen passive law enforcement, by the way. We saw it at Parkland, mm-hmm. at the high school. Mm-hmm. And that's still in the news. The sheriff's department, like, they didn't go in. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen that. Well, mm-hmm. I would have liked some more aggression, mm-hmm. and some more ability to get in there. Riskiness, adventurousness, listed here as negatives. Mm. Well, again, I think it's a positive, but it has to be shown how to do it. Mm-hmm. But it can be used for evil or it can be used for good. So here's the APA saying traditional masculinity, all of this stuff, the aggression, the competitiveness, self-reliance, emotional stoicism is harmful, point blank. So, and then they look at and go, well, look at the jails are full. The prisons are full of men. Yes, it is full of men. Like, but that doesn't mean that being masculine is bad. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I heard somebody say this, and I thought that's a good point. This is just my opinion too. I happen to agree with this. Like, the problem is there are a lot of evil men, but what we don't need, the problem is there's a lot of evil men and there's a lot of weak men who let them do their thing. Mm-hmm. Calling for men to be weak in the face of evil is not the idea. Mm-hmm. We actually need men to be strong. And it turns out that women actually are pining for that.
I agree.
For someone they can respect, for someone who has strength under control, for someone who has a heart for the vulnerable, for the weak.
Someone who isn't using, who doesn't use all of those characteristics that you read, all those characteristics in the context or in the hands of anger.
Right.
Is frightening.
Absolutely. Or for their own power.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's true of just humans.
That's true.
So we all have this package of things. But what this is denying, basically, and I was just reading a study. It was from a woman at Stanford. It was from 2 years ago. She had set out to debunk the idea of there being any kind of gender difference in the brain.
Okay.
And the paper she wound up writing was exactly the opposite of that. She's like, there's just so much evidence, it's insane. Mm-hmm. There's more than 100 documented differences just in the brain between men and women. Mm-hmm. But this is an attempt to say that the things that make a man, that we traditionally associate with male behavior, by the way, it's in chimpanzees too. Mm-hmm. Chimpanzee toddlers will play, the boys will play with the trucks. Mm-hmm. And the girls are more responsive to faces. Mm-hmm. It's not because of socialization. This is just who we are. It's cross-cultural. Mm-hmm. But this is identifying that certain thing. So when people say, yeah, I think that there's people who are actually at war with masculinity, mm-hmm. There's some basis for that. Mm-hmm. That to me is, they are identifying what it tends to be at masculine. Now, I love that stuff when it's targeted at defending the vulnerable, and when it's used for evil, then it's evil. Yeah.
Like anything else is what you're
saying. Like anything else.
Yeah. So you're saying that the people that didn't like the commercial, perhaps their argument was, the argument against masculinity overall, they just took this as another tool in that toolbox.
They see it as like the culture at large is deciding, or the people with approved opinions are, mm-hmm. deciding, have a certain angle, and Gillette is like, hey, we're on that team. But I don't see that. As I'm seeing the commercial, I'm knowing that's where they're coming from. I don't think it's fair to the commercial. Mm-hmm. Having watched the commercial.
Yeah, it wasn't what that's what confused me, is it actually wasn't what the commercial portrayed.
Right.
But if you think the genesis of it is out of that train of thought, then I guess you would dismiss it without actually seeing the content, which I find a little troubling.
Well, I would like them. Yeah, exactly. I would like, rather than just go, okay, this is an evil example of men. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And if you define it as, well, there's basically no difference between women and men, you're denying science. Mm-hmm. That's just, again, I'm reading this from a Stanford report, but it's fascinating to me. Even when I was in college, we knew this. Mm-hmm. There'd already been discussion about the male and female brain being profoundly different. Mm-hmm. And I remember a college professor talking about men and women, and he said, why do people think we're any different? It's just genitalia. Like, it's not, though. Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. You're denying the fact that our brains are different. And it doesn't mean every individual has to act this way or has to act that way, or mm-hmm. women can't act this way or men can't act that. But the
idea that there's scientific things, right? I think that's what's so odd, is that when you're discussing things with people, there's this hyper focus on quote unquote science in an effort to dismiss things that I believe. And then when it proves something that I believe, all of a sudden we're dismissing the actual science.
Right.
So it's never across the board, I believe science. It's like, I believe science. Oh, but here, no, it's how you feel.
Right.
And that's odd.
Well,
at least you could call yourself out on it and say, you know, that is odd.
Yeah, I don't think we should interpret science through our politics. Mm-hmm. We should be unafraid to go where it goes.
I agree.
Now, a lot of what passes for science, we're talking about university level studies, are just completely faked. Mm-hmm. And you can study that. There are studies about faking studies, and it's incredibly interesting.
And you're going into it with a political predisposition,
right.
I'm guessing.
I want to get this conclusion. Look, religious people do it, non-religious people do it. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to go into this, and by golly, if I'm doing this big study and I got a grant for it, I'm going to reach a conclusion. It's going to be the one that I was hoping for, or else I just wasted everybody's time for 2 or 3 years, or I don't have a PhD thesis, or I don't, mm-hmm. like, why did I get this? Like, or there's a reason people paid for the grant in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, so I would like it to be, I would like it to not just bring our stuff into the research and then base the research based on what we want.
Let the science lead you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's me. But anyway, I think that's why people react to this. And this APA report, basically, achievement, being achievement oriented, traditionally masculine, harmful, risk, adventure. Well, that's the fireman coming out with a baby in his arms out of there are certain things that are good. Mm-hmm. If someone uses it for evil, then let's call it evil. That's the other thing too. If you can't call it evil, you don't even have that in your vocabulary, then you really don't know how to analyze human behavior.
Yeah.
So really odd.
You know, it is.
Another thing I saw when I was researching this, I thought was really interesting, of the people who are becoming counselors now. Mm-hmm. So we know men need counseling, right? Mm-hmm. 15% are men. Mm. All new counselors, 85% women. Mm-hmm. Men are not, I don't know where men go. I don't know where's the example of, okay, men, here's what we want you to be. Mm-hmm. Because if the TV network said, Brant, we're going to give you an hour to show what men should be. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had an hour to produce, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'd be like, okay. And I would come up with things, but they would definitely fall under this traditional masculinity thing.
Sure.
Of taking risks, being adventurous, mm-hmm. Being driven, mm-hmm. in the service of defending the weak.
Yeah.
Out of love.
Yeah.
But being a man and being driven out of love, and that would absolutely, that would be like, well, we can't air that. Mm. This is just traditional masculinity. Okay. It's not toxic. Mm-hmm. That's not toxic. Evil's toxic.
Right.
But that's not toxic.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.